Influenza is serious.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma or diabetes, are 50 or older, have a child 6 through 23 months, or live or work with those at high risk, yes, get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Looking at partial cloudiness and an isolated rumble of thunder through tonight as a front approaches. Low around 55 early Thursday. We'll tack on to 65 for kind of a cool Thursday afternoon. Risk of rain about 60%, hence the cooler readings. Friday's forecast, look for more clouds and intermittent showers with a high of 67. And we look at Saturday with a risk of rain and 40s back on the map.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's the Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. Glad to have you with me. And certainly hope we can have some fun tonight. I know we will. Yeah, you'll make it fun. We are, of course, broadcasting live tonight again from the WWNR employee sauna. but I'm not going to complain about it this time because we'll be freezing come Sunday. Somebody promised me the snow was gone a couple of weeks ago. I forget who it was. Promised me on air the snow is gone. And it's coming back. Ugh. But, you know, that's the last gasp, really. Although I do remember seeing snow in May once upon a time. So, you know, not quite time to put all the jackets away, I guess. This is, of course, April the 20th. So I don't expect too many Republican phone calls tonight, being as how they'll probably be off celebrating Hitler's birthday. Yeah, it really is. It's Hitler's birthday. But beyond that, I don't know. Let's pick up where we left off last night. I had a nice email from our South Carolina David, A Pluribusum, one out of many Davids. But he says, Bob, I worked for the Democratic candidates during the 2004 election. Our part of South Carolina is one of the areas that still usually votes Democratic. My congressman is Jim Clyburn. Our entire state government is Republican. This includes the Secretary of State. Charming. Well, last year we just had to have the all-new ESS voting machines. They didn't even have training on them until September. There was no way to protest the machines, and they were forced on us. Even though state law requires a manual recount, if the victory margin is less than 1%, these machines can't be recounted. There's no audit trail, and we're not allowed to see the source code. In 2006, they planned to install these in counties that had a large minority population. Our U.S. Senate candidate, Inez Tenenbaum, I remember her, was running dead even with Jim Demented and yet lost by a 10% margin. You remember Jim Demented? This is the guy who said, no homosexual should be allowed to teach in our schools. I mean, how are you going to find out? Is there going to be a loyalty oath? I mean, you can't get married to someone of the same gender down in South Carolina, so what? Is it, you know, dark room, hot spotlights? Are you now or have you ever been? Oh, Lord. I don't know if you realize or not, but we're getting the, We're getting the electronic voting machines pretty soon, too. Although we've been promised a paper receipt. I'm still skeptical of that. And as a follow-up to last night's conversation with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and velvetrevolution.us, over at velvetrevolution.us, I took a wander around after the show was over. There's an opportunity there to send an email to the Baker-Carter Commission, and it's got some prepared text and an opportunity for you to add your own remarks. Well, apparently the executive director of this commission is a guy named Bob Pastor from American University. And he called and he called Brad Friedman and gave him down the road. How dare you American citizens try to express your opinions about what we're doing with this commission? By God, if we want to hear from you, we'll let you know. Now, never mind the fact that they've got a website, they've got a public email address. Well, we're getting flooded with emails. We don't like it. We don't like it when you nasty old citizens participate. It's scary. If we wanted your participation, we wouldn't have James Baker on this commission. I mean, after all, the single sleaziest lawyer in Washington wouldn't be on our commission if he thought that American input was important. I mean, he's a pretty busy man. We're grateful to have him. After all, he spends a lot of time defending the Saudi Arabians against people who got slaughtered by Saudi Arabians in the 9/11 attacks. Don't you understand? So hop on over to velvetrevolution.us and express yourself. Let Mr. Pastor know that coming up with a cook job election reform commission that starts out with nothing but a partisan parade of Republican political hacks decrying voter fraud when the problem is election fraud doesn't sit well with you. I don't really see this as a Republican or Democrat issue. I mean, if you're a Republican, you want your vote counted, don't you? And you'd kind of like to actually know that it was counted, right? Well, with a paperless voting machine, you can't know. And of course, and maybe it's just because I'm such a wild-eyed liberal that the notion of anybody's corporation, yeah, ES&S, Diebold, I don't want McDonald's, Walmart, I don't want any corporate entity doing the vote counting, because that seems fundamentally un-American to me. It doesn't seem like it jibes with the intent of anyone who ever set up an election procedure in this country. You get a pencil, you mark your little paper ballot with your pencil, you put the paper ballot in the little receptacle for it. Maybe you even get to, like Wayne said, you know, use the little golf pencils. You know, I voted today. Maybe you get to keep your pencil. And you walk away feeling terribly civic-minded and terribly proud for having participated in your government, of which you are one out of many sovereigns. That's crazy talk, isn't it? But, dude, go over to velvetrevolution.us and let them know that canned commissions don't play well with you, and that you would rather like to see your vote counted, and you'd like to know that they were interested in counting your vote. Now, do you remember a couple of weeks ago, well, maybe a month ago, time flies, you know, when the Italian journalist Giuliana Scirena was attacked by U.S. forces as she escaped from her alleged insurgent captors. Remember that? They killed the Italian Secret Service man who had saved her life, shot him in the back. American forces did. Well, a couple of nights ago, I think it was Monday night, I suggested a moment of silence or two for Marla Ruzicka, killed last week in an attack on her way to the airport. Well, it turns out that a week before she was killed, you know, Ms. Ruzicka was laser beam focused on finding out more information and trying to help Iraqi civilians who had been wounded and whose family members had been killed as a result of Georgia's bloodthirsty little war. And you remember some time back, General Tommy Franks, former head of the U.S. Central Command, he said, the U.S. Army don't do body counts, implying that we didn't give a damn how many civilians we killed, and that even though they were required to do so by the Geneva Conventions, they weren't going to be counting any corpses, at least not any Iraqi corpses, none of them brown people. Why would we want to count them? Well, it turns out Marla Ruzicka wrote an essay a week before her death this past Saturday. It was published yesterday. And she revealed that a brigadier general told her it was, quote, standard operating procedure for U.S. troops to file a report when they shoot a noncombatant. That's an otherwise, that's fancy journalism lingo for innocent civilian who doesn't have a gun. So she got hold of some numbers on the number of civilians killed in Baghdad between the end of February and the fifth day of April. About a 30-day period. Plus or minus. Yeah, what, 33 days? And she found out that in that month, 29 unarmed civilians had been killed. And what she wrote was as follows. These statistics demonstrate that the U.S. military can and does track civilian casualties. Troops on the ground keep these records because they recognize they have a responsibility to review each action taken and that it is in their interest to minimize mistakes, especially since winning the hearts and minds of Iraqis is a key component of their strategy. Okay? Now, Iraq body count says at least 17,384 people have died in the last 2 years. The Johns Hopkins highly expert study published in The Lancet, the English, the single most preeminent medical journal in the world, and peer-reviewed time and time again to make sure they had their numbers right. The Johns Hopkins study in The Lancet says over 100,000, mostly women and little children, have been slaughtered by us. And now Ms. Ruzicka, it turns out, had found out that, contrary to what Tommy Franks said,
we don't do body counts.
That indeed we do do body counts. We're just not letting anybody know what they are. But she did find out that we slaughtered 29 unarmed civilians between February 28 and April 5. And now, having found that out and having published that report, she's dead. How about that? We'll be back. Time to take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
When Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a surge.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
Where there.
Disaster strikes.
Where one volunteer force.
Helping each other. And simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Paying too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles to the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31. Thank you.
Hi, this is James Blake. Being a world-class tennis player takes total commitment, and it's that same type of commitment that Shriners have in providing world-class medical care to kids. Care that's totally free of charge. Shriners Hospitals combine expert orthopedic and burn care with leading-edge research and outstanding teaching programs. I know, because as a child, I was a patient at a Shriners Hospital. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. Call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. And by the way, these we weren't responsible for. More than 50 bodies were found in the Tigris River today. Some were found also slaughtered in a soccer stadium. But rest assured, freedom's on the march, little brother. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
All right. I'm barely hear you, buddy.
I'm sorry. Better?
Well, life, things are tough all over, aren't
Yes, they are.
Hey, listen, did I hear you do something from a Clockwork Orange?
I don't think so.
Are you now, or have you ever been?
Oh, yeah, well.
Wait a minute. Bob, when you do that, you've got to do it like this. Are you now, or have you ever been a practicing homosexual?
That's the one.
That's it. You got it. Between that scene and the scene of his mother's clothes, I love that.
Yes.
By the way, today is the 116th birthday of guess who?
No, Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, you know, I was reading some interesting things about a corollary that he had written that's just been recently surfaced to Mein Kampf.
Really?
Yeah, and of course they tested the paper, and all paper before 1954 was not given a type of bleach which shows up under fluorescent lighting.
Uh-huh.
Well, this paper passed the test, and they also got a typewriter expert. And he got the typeface and everything, and it was typed on a 1928 Remington portable, probably the same one he did Mein Kampf on.
Yeah.
But in it, he expressed some interesting things about this country. Would you like to hear them?
I would.
He admired America significantly. He maintained that the best and the brightest had immigrated from Europe, leaving basically the Untermensch behind. The ones who had the courage were the ones who came to this country and settled it. And, of course, you know, he was an ardent admirer of Henry Ford.
As was Henry Ford of him.
You're right. And, of course, Ford was a teetotaler, non-smoker, and a notorious anti-Semite. And Hitler also said that he had gotten some of his ideas from American history. And guess who from?
I can.
People like Andy Jackson.
You mean like, yeah, with the Trail of Tears?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
And how, you know, the ideas. For example, he got the concentration camp idea for the British, the way they used that in the Boer War.
Right.
And, well, of course, the vast movements of people and relocation he got from the Americans and the way they had treated the American Indians.
Oh, that's just depressing.
Really?
But it's true. I mean, If he says that's where he got the idea, it's fine by me. But I mean,
it's true.
What we did, we did, and you can't we're reality based, Jim, so we can't exactly hide from history.
No, we can't. But I thought it was interesting. Now later on, he began to say that America was mongrelized by so many other races,
mm-hmm.
and had become a nation of jitterbuggers and jazz people and stuff like that, and made some serious mistakes. But he, in his heart of hearts, at least in this document that's been proven to be true, did, in fact, admire American methods. And those are the methods that he later adopted in his own program.
Well, they were highly effective methods, Jim. I mean, no high tech. Just take a few million Indians and put them on the march, and the ones that die along the way, die along the way.
You know, Bob, who's been fighting the greatest anti-terrorist war in the world?
Who?
The American Indian ever since 1492.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. How many millions of natives existed in North America, Mexico, Central America at the time of the conquest of the New World? 30, 40, 50 million?
A lot of people.
Yeah. And
these people honored the land. They took care of it very well.
And it took care of them.
Yeah, it did. And I have always been, my sympathy is always, as far as any group of people who have been mistreated in this country, it is the American Indian.
Well, I was reading an account of, I can't remember, the Viking landing in Vinland. You're familiar, about 1,000 A.D. And not one single European culture ever came over here and accorded the natives 10 cents worth of respect, Jim, because the Norsemen that landed in what is now Nova Scotia, I guess, referred to the natives as skraelings. That's even not knowing what it means, that's just an icky word, isn't it? And it's
I guess so.
It's Norse for wretched people.
Well,
just
you know, it struck me as being ironic that the very things that we condemned Adolf Hitler for, the ideas that propelled him into the place of infamy that he occupies in history today, were given to him, according to him, in his own writing. And Hitler never wrote. He always stood up and had somebody type for him. He was too lazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he never enjoyed a scheduled work day or anything like that. Now, the war kind of put him into that. He didn't like it. But, I mean, he would always have somebody type as he went into his long harangue. But it's just amazing that he would get those ideas for the concentration camp from the British in the Boer War and the massive relocations of huge populations in Europe from the way the Americans subjugated the Indian tribes.
You know, I'm surprised he didn't cite further evidence for his concentration camps. Surprised he didn't cite Andersonville.
Well, I mean, he did. He did. And thank you for mentioning that. But, you know, Roosevelt, in April 23rd, 1939, wrote him a letter, or several, 2 weeks before, in the 1st of April. And he asked him, he said, Herr Reichskanzler, do you intend to attack Poland? And on the 23rd of April, Hitler probably gave, as far as speeches are concerned, the best I've ever read, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can read it in William L. Shirer's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Right. Brilliant book.
Uh-huh. And in it, and he listed all these countries that he would not attack. Now, this is the summer of the spring of 39.
Right.
War was less than 6 months away. And he left out Poland. And he did attack in April of 39.
Yeah, sort of the equivalent of Homer Simpson saying, I won't not attack Poland.
But he told Roosevelt, he said, look, he said, you know, you tell me that the way things are settled is at the peace table. He said, did you settle your American Civil War at the peace table? Or did you subjugate the Indian tribes, the Sioux Americans, he referred to, by peaceful means? I mean, it was a speech that was filled with sarcasm, and it had the entire Reichstag just rocking. And I can see Gary now just playing with his pencil now.
Yeah, and
being in the thing right above it.
That goofy grin on his face.
Well, but you know, I'll tell you something. You really have to take a look at some of these things and be objective, and as you say, be reality based. Realize we ain't no saints and we ain't no angels.
No, and. You know, the future of America lies in our ability to recognize this and not do it again. But you know,
the thing about it is, how are these people being treated today? And I don't think they're being treated that well, being honest with you.
No, the Native American population has to fight for everything it gets. It got a brand new museum on the mall in Washington. That's lovely. But
but I'm talking about, does that put food in their mouths? Or does that take care of their schools? Or does that take care of discrimination which they still encounter?
And apparently just outright stealing from Indians is still a successful concern in Washington, D.C. if you look at the shenanigans of Tom DeLay's best buddy, Jack Abramoff. Or Abramoff.
Casinos and stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, he took millions of dollars. Did absolutely, virtually nothing for the Native American tribes, turned around, funneled it to people like Ralph Reed, who is virulently anti-gambling, but there's Ralph Reed, oh, I'll take some of that Indian money, yeah. It's Indian money, yeah. You know, this time they don't even want the fire water and the muskets. And that's offensive.
It is to me too, Bob, because to some people, all money is green, no matter if it's stained blood red.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it, and by virtue of the fact that it all spends, it's all sacred.
I guess you're right, the God of Mammon.
Exactly. Jim, I appreciate it. We got to hit our break.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care. Yeah, a little, it's his birthday. A little more discussion is probably in order. Especially about maybe, Cardinal Ratt, the new pope. This guy is truly disgusting. And we'll do that when we come back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Two people hospitalized after a truck and motorcycle collided last night near Bradley. An emergency dispatcher says the accident occurred at around 8 o'clock on Route 19 at the Maple Fork exit. The two people injured were taken to Raleigh General. Their names or the extent of their injuries were not released today. State police are investigating. One man is dead, another seriously injured after an early morning ATV accident in McDowell County. State police say 37-year-old Tony Vanover of Yeager died at the scene of the accident, which occurred at around 2:30 Tuesday morning along County Route 114 at Orchard Branch Hollow. Daryl Walker of Yeager was health netted to CAMC, where he's listed today in stable condition in IC. It's not clear which of the two men were operating the vehicle, since both were ejected. Cause of the accident still under investigation. State police looking for a man who may have been involved in two thefts on Monday night. Police investigating a break-in at the Cracker Barrel on Harper Road received a call that an elderly woman staying at the nearby Days Inn had had her purse stolen. The victim said she and her sister were walking toward the motel around 10:30 Monday night when a man approached them asking for directions. The man then ripped the purse from her shoulder, tearing the strap and hurting her enough to send her to the hospital. A security video shows the man hopping into a car for a getaway. Police think another person may have been driving. They also think the suspects may be responsible for the Cracker Barrel break-in. The alleged mugger is described as a white male, mid-20s, medium build, clean-shaven, about 5'7", with short hair, wearing a baseball cap and a gray sweatshirt. Anyone with information should call state police at 256-6700 or Crime Stoppers at 255-7867. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy. Now temperatures mid-60s. Tonight, then, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 51 for the low. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high 60. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cooler, low near 40. Then for Friday, a chance of showers, high around 60. Chance of showers and thunderstorms again on Friday night, mid-40s. Saturday, a chance of showers, high near 50. And for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high upper 40s to around 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union is still trying to get a billboard that both they and Clear Channel can live with up on Staten Island. The union's original Wall Monster billboard that said Walmart would come Godzilla-like to Staten Island and destroy and devastate the communities there was rejected by Clear Channel, the corporate radio, advertising, and entertainment giant. Michael Marino is secretary treasurer of UFCW Local 342.
It's censorship at its real core.
Marino says negotiations are ongoing to get an anti-Walmart billboard up, and he says this is a lesson in corporate control of the media.
It gives people a chance to pause and to see that the billboards in the country and the newspapers in the country are only controlled by a certain few elite people that have control of what we see and what we don't see.
The union isn't giving up on its anti-Walmart message.
We're going to present the artwork for another ad and see what happens. It's an ongoing process to be continued.
Members of the Professional Staff Congress flooded the streets yesterday, demanding a fair contract with the City University of New York. The rally drew 700 people, insisting that after 2.5 years with no contract and 4 years without a raise, CUNY needs to give its teachers a better offer.
The best offer that we've had from management is still below the level of inflation, so it would actually add up to a salary cut.
Barbara Bowen is president of the Professional Staff Congress. Her union is holding a rally today in support of the striking graduate employees at Columbia University. Graduate employees there are demanding better health care and the right to organize with the United Auto Workers. Graduate employees at Yale are also on strike in the first multi-campus job action in Ivy League history. Bowen says she hopes these actions will highlight the fact that universities are often poor employers.
Higher education institutions need to act like responsible employers. They have a major public responsibility and they are major recipients of public dollars, even the private ones, and it's time that they acted responsibly.
A bill creating the freedom for workers to join unions by a simple majority sign-up is being introduced in Congress. AFL-CIO Voice at Work Director Andy Levin says some Republicans are co-sponsors.
We started out with a name Republican and Democratic sponsor in the Senate. That's Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania joining Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts. And also in the House of Representatives, Republican Peter King joined Democrat George Miller.
The bill has more than 30 sponsors in the U.S. Senate, more than 120 in the House. It includes meaningful penalties when workers' rights are violated. Here's today's Dow Bob report. The Labor Research Association says consumer debt is at a record high, real wages and income are falling for most workers, and the prospects for savings are grim. Average hourly earnings rose 2.2% over the past year, while inflation was 3%. The national savings rate is 0.2%, the lowest level ever. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 22 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock, email in from Kelly. Kelly writes, I saw a vehicle today. It almost starts out like the beginning of or the line from that Don Henley song. You know, saw a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. A little voice in my head said, you never look back. I saw a vehicle today with a W sticker, a Snuffer for Congress sticker, and a CSA, Confederate States of America sticker. Kelly writes, enough said. Yeah. There are elements of our own party, by that I mean Democrats, who occasionally get on to me for the fieriness of my exhortations. And they say, you know, Bob, you're never going to change anybody's minds like that. Well, you know, there is a certain element of the population out there that is beyond help. And when you're tooling around with a W sticker, a Snuffer for Congress sticker, and a Confederate States of America sticker, I'm not going to reach you. And what am I supposed to say about somebody like that? You know, I'm supposed to sing Kumbaya and reach out to that? There's no help in that. They're going to vote Republican until they're dead, and then probably thereafter. You know, it's a typical Republican mantra. These straight ticket Democrat voters, well, you know, they're the problem. Now, the fact of the matter is, Democrats will cross party lines. They'll cross the street. They'll cross themselves. It goes back to what Will Rogers said. I'm not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. On the other hand, you cannot ask a tiger to change its stripes. A Republican will vote for Republicans over and over and over and over again. You know, I take grief. I saw some comments somewhere along the way on the message boards, which, by the way, you know, are free for you to use. Jump right in. Have fun. headonradio.com. There's a portal through our website at www.nrnewstalk620.com. Make yourself at home. Have a blast. But, you know, Bob's already said he won't never vote for no Republican. Why in God's name would I vote for a Republican? Now, you pick any Republican around here and show me the commonality of interest that would lead me to cast a ballot for them. Sally Sussman? Or no, not Sally Sussman. Oh, God. Wash my mouth out. No, no, not Sally. Sorry, no. Oh, who am I thinking of? Linda Sumner. Sorry, Sussman Sumner. Please forgive me. Linda Sumner? I'm going to vote for her? I mean, I don't live in the district, but just as an example. Why? Why would I? There's nothing there to vote for that is in line with my interests. Takes money from Big Coal. The highlight, what was the highlight of her legislative session? Trying to increase the buffer zone rule from 300 to 900 feet between a bar and a church or whatever.
Woo!
Now, I think I referenced Sally because she's the only one that voted at least the right way on the insurance bad faith bill. And, you know, I'll never vote for a Republican. In the years I've been eligible to vote, and that's, you know, 24 years or so now, I've never seen a Republican come out that represents anything I believe in. You know, you got the three theocratic weirdos, and then you've got the ones that live to service corporate interests. I'm not like that. Now, I have, however, determined that there are some Democrats whom, you know, whatever their Republican, I will not vote for the Republican, but I will leave their name blank. And I don't think I'm wrong in doing so. Because, again, they happen to be Democrats with whom I share no interests. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Getting back to the topic at hand, because, you know, a vehicle with a W sticker, a Snuffer for Congress sticker, and a Confederate States of America sticker, you might as well complete the four-way on that and have a little Hakenkreuz on there while you're at it. That's German for swastika. The broken cross, the Hakenkreuz. Might as well have one on there, too. Because, you know, the fascist is as fascist does. And we talked a little bit last night about the new Pope Benny. And I got to tell you, this guy, I don't know what the cardinals were thinking. But the more you look at it, the sicker his election becomes. I mean, this there's a lot he gave. I mean, you're well aware of the sexual abuse scandal, right? Of course you are. Well, Cardinal Ratt. Never mind the rest of it. Rat is plenty. Cardinal Rat declared that the sexual abuse scandal that has cost the church millions upon millions of dollars is a vast left-wing conspiracy. These are his words. This is not me paraphrasing. This is not me satirizing. In regard to priests who abuse little boys and occasionally girls, mostly boys, who abuse the trust of their office, who spit in the eye of God when they do what they do, here's what he said. I am personally convinced that the constant presence in the press of the sins of Catholic priests, especially in the United States, is a planned campaign, as the percentage of these offenses among the priests is not higher than in other categories, and perhaps it is even lower.
In the United States, there is constant news on this topic, but less than 1% of priests are guilty of acts of this type. The constant presence of these news items does not correspond to the objectivity of the information, nor to the statistical objectivity of the facts. Therefore, one comes to the conclusion that it is an intentional manipulated, that there is a desire to discredit the church. It is a logical and well-founded conclusion.
The hell do you call that, the final solution for dealing with sex abuse problems among the Catholic clergy? Listen to the logic. Now, we're talking about priests here. We're not talking about your random member of the church. We are talking about priests, ordained, sanctified, consecrated, whatever. The constant presence in the press of the sins of Catholic priests, especially in the United States, see, blame America first, is a planned campaign. Well, really? Bless my pea-picking heart. He's picked up on the good old Republican standby of blame the media. It's the media's fault that they report on these scandals. They would not have had nearly so much a problem if they would have hushed it up. It's not so much that we have ways of making you talk, it's we have ways of making you shut up. And he did that. The priests in South and Central America that preached what is called in those camps liberation theology, that encourages peasants and poor people and working people to assert their rights against dictatorial regimes, he slapped them down a rat hole. Ratzinger, rat hole, in a Bavarian minute. No, he's from Baden-Baden. Yeah. In a Baden-Baden minute. So this man is entitled to no regard and no respect. He slapped at priests who were trying to follow Christ and lead their flocks. Some of them even got excommunicated for trying to teach poor people to stand on their hind legs and demand that they be treated like human beings. They got punished by the Panzer Pope. But this blame America first, it is America's fault that they are concerned about the priests who are abusing their children. That's sickening. That is truly sickening. It's a planned campaign. And then, listen to this. I don't know if you caught it the first time through or not, but listen. The percentage of these offenses among priests is not higher than in other categories. In other words, what he's saying is the percentage of priests who diddle children is not higher than the percentage of, say, murderers who diddle children. The percentage of priests who diddle children in America is not higher than the percentage of Boy Scout leaders who diddle children. The percentage of priests in America who diddle children is not higher than, pick an occupation. And that therefore, talking about it is a problem. Now, this guy has inveighed against, as I noted last night, moral relativism. Moral relativism. And you hear that from the weirdo religion industry crowd of non-Catholic stripe as well. And yet, is it not moral relativism in its purest form to suggest that because there are no higher number of kitty-diddling priests than there are of kitty-diddling murderers, that somehow that excuses the conduct of the priests? These are priests. These are priests. Servants of Almighty God and Christ Jesus. So to my way of looking at it, and maybe I'm just crazy, when a priest violates a child, steals from them their childhood, twists and warps and maims them for the rest of their days, maybe it's moral relativism on my part to think that that's worse than if some, you know, what, pick an occupation, did it. Because I would think that in the priesthood there should be zero tolerance for that kind of conduct. I mean, you do it once, you're not a priest anymore, and you get turned over to the secular authorities for trial and punishment. But that apparently is not the way Cardinal Ratt looks at things. Now, he can call himself Benedict. He can call himself Jehovah. He can call himself Nancy the 32nd. I don't care. As far as I am concerned, until the day that he breathes out and doesn't breathe in again, and they start shoveling dirt over him, he will be Cardinal Ratt. There is no good in this man. And, you know, this is not just me. I've done a lot of reading on the subject in the last day or so, and there's a lot of American Catholics out there that are incredibly incensed. And oddly enough, there are a lot of Germans that are incensed. You know, the German nation went through an absolute upheaval of self-examination, self-loathing, and contrition for the overt acts and the acts of silence that resulted in the Holocaust. Cardinal Ratt never did that. They've even started tendering his excuses for his membership in the Hitler Youth. Not the least of which being, well, I had to be in the Hitler Youth. I couldn't resist the Nazis. They were irresistible. Really. That excuse has been tendered, that he joined the Hitler Youth because there was no resisting the Nazis. Now, bear in mind, 1940, he would have been 14 years old. 16 years old in 1942. At the same time, there was a young woman named Sophie Scholl. She was maybe 2 years older than him. She was in university with her brother and some other friends. And with no support whatsoever except the backbone and the courage of their moral nature, they stood in the face of the Nazi juggernaut right smack dab in the middle of it, right there in Munich. And they prepared leaflets and flyers, knowing that doing so was death to them. But their morals compelled them to oppose Hitler and National Socialism. And they put out, I believe in the course of the history of the group, they put out six leaflets. Beautiful things, well-written things, explaining precisely why Adolf Hitler and his cronies were leading, through a devastating war, were leading their beloved country. Because you see, we Americans, we don't have a lock on beloveding our country. Other people love their country, too. And they loved their native Germany and hated what was being done to it. And 1944, I believe it was, Sophie, her brother, and Christoph Probst, I'm not sure, were caught. In 2 days' time, they were tried. And on the day that they were tried, they were found guilty. and within an hour of having been found guilty, they were beheaded by the Nazis. Little more than children. Not much older than Joseph the Rat, who had to join the Hitler Youth because the Nazis were irresistible. The group, you know what the group was. We talk about it every night. And at every mention of their name, I reverence their heroism. The group was the White Rose Society. You can go to whiterosesociety.org. You can read every leaflet that they produced. You can read a history of the group. You can read about true heroism and what it meant and what it cost at a time when Cardinal Rat, the Panzer Pope, was shaking in his bones and declaring that the Nazis were irresistible. Better he had joined with Sophie Scholl in those days than he should defame the name of Christ in this one. This is News Talk 620. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Welcome to Headcare with Dr. Kelly. You're on caller.
Hi, I'm having problems. People don't find attractive.
Then how do you know?
Because they gag when they see me.
Sounds like we're having a self-image problem, yes?
Well, I'm round, red. Well, I'm round, red. Hey, I'm a polyp.
Aren't you being a little hard on yourself, polyp?
Maybe. But there is one more thing.
What's that?
If I'm around long enough, I give you cancer. Hello?
Well, that's interesting. Can we go to the next caller, please, right now?
Let me talk. I grow on you.
When a colon polyp shows up, get rid of it right away, because colon polyps can lead directly to colon cancer. Get the polyp early and stop colon cancer before it even starts.
Hi, it's me. Get it. Hello?
And that's both for men and women. So just get a test from your doctor.
Hello? I think I got cut off, so to speak. Hello?
Colon cancer. Get the test, get the polyp, get the cure. For more information, call 1-800-ACS-2345 or visit cancer.org. A public service message brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the Ad Council, and this station.
In Sweetwater, a college student teaches swimming at the Y.
In Woodsboro, an iron worker builds a home with Habitat for Humanity.
In Detroit, a dental hygienist helps clean up a state park.
In Seattle, a commercial fisherman joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
WWNR Beckley.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Influenza is serious.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma or diabetes, are 50 or older, have a child 6 through 23 months, or live or work with those at high risk, yes, get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Looking at partial cloudiness and an isolated rumble of thunder through tonight as a front approaches. Low around 55 early Thursday. We'll tack on to 65 for kind of a cool Thursday afternoon. A risk of rain about 60%, hence the cooler readings. Friday's forecast, look for more clouds and intermittent showers with a high of 67. And we look at Saturday with a risk of rain and 40s back on the map.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The phone number, I haven't done the phone number, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. A couple of emails rolled in, one from David, who says, odd how the new pope takes over very close to Hitler's birthday. Yeah. And then I got to thinking about it. You know, he celebrated his first mass today. Pope Joey the Rat celebrated his first mass on Hitler's birthday. Is there nobody in the church that is you know, is there not like some sort of office of pay attention to the calendar? He celebrated, this former member of the Hitler Youth celebrated his first mass on Hitler's birthday. You wonder if inside his little head he was still remembering how to click his heels and that, and it's a Kyle. Yeah, it's a Kyle.
Yeah.
And of course, and then JJ writes in. JJ says, in light of all the papal coverage and ensuing hoo-ha therefrom, I think that's one of those complex legal terms, hoo-ha therefrom. Nice job, JJ. Ensuing hoo-ha therefrom, I'd like to present a really simple thought on that whole separation of church and state mess. If the right would stop trying to use the church as a political tool, and the ACLU and others would stop trying to take legal action to mandate what the church can and cannot do, we'd have the separation. Fancy that. Separation may just involve leaving well enough alone. Boy, that makes sense. That makes such good sense. But of course, and I think JJ probably understands this, if, you know, the whole hypothetical, and by virtue of being hypothetical, it begins with the word if, and it is predicated if the right would stop trying to use the church as a political tool. And they can't. They simply cannot. Because, as we've noted before, if you take, I mean, now we're not talking about the Lark's Vomit Canapé and Chardonnay crowd of Republicans, the really insanely filthy, obscenely rich Republicans who don't give the tinker's damn about these religious issues. You know, their God is what's in their pocket and their checkbook and their stock portfolio. They don't care. Except for the fact that beyond them, the only thing the Republican Party has to get people, to sucker people into voting for them is abortion, prayer in schools, homosexuals, and the hatred thereof, the Ten Commandments, and this vacuous, ephemeral sense of somehow being persecuted for their religion. That's all they've got. That's the only thing that'll bring the knuckle draggers and the knuckle walkers and the mouth breathers and the strychnine swiggers out of the woodwork to vote Republican every 4 years. That's it. I mean, that's it. They have no social justice issues. They have no long-term issues for the well-being of this country. They have no economic issues. All they've got are, if you vote for that Democrat, your kid might have a homosexual teacher, and then the next thing you know, they'll catch a bad dose of queer. Huh? But that's it. That's all they got. In all seriousness, the modern Republican Party is a one-trick pony of the worst variety. So when J.J. premises that theorem with if the right would stop trying to use the church as a political tool, we know it's doomed to failure. Because the right will never stop using the church as a political tool. And beyond the political issues themselves, please, let's bear in mind that there is, after all, a whole horse gaggin' load of money involved. And it's not just that Lark's Vomit Canapé and Chardonnay crowd of Republicans that worships it. Jerry Falwell worships it. Robertson worships it. James Dobson worships it. Donald Wildman worships it. Randall Terry worships it. That James Kennedy down at Coral Snake Ministries worships money. That's why they're all going to have such ugly little awakenings if and when they reach that much vaunted final judgment. You know, God, big and shiny up on the throne, can't even see his face for all the magnificence, looks down and says,
James Dobson, you worshipped money more than you did me.
And then takes his little middle finger against his little thumb, just like you do with a mosquito, and reaches down and flicks James Dobson down into hell. Next up,
Jerry Falwell.
And again, with the middle finger against the end of the thumb, and just another mosquito gone to hell. Read Dante's Divine Comedy sometime. Dante Alighieri looked around his culture and the history he knew, and he just sat there in beautiful verse and peopled a hell with all manner of awful examples of humanity, from the betrayers to the thieves to the murderers. Churchmen, there's some churchmen in Dante's Inferno, I do believe. And I think it's along the same lines of a little, you know, how a little middle finger against the thumb and see ya. So we know from all of this, the right is never going to let loose of the religion industry, and the religion industry is never going to let loose of the right. They are more than married. I mean, personally, I find political to religious marriage far more offensive than any gay marriage. Because you let a couple of gay people get married, they do what they do in their own in the privacy of their own home. I don't care. I don't want to know. Don't want to talk about it any more than I want to talk about what goes on in a heterosexual marriage. On the other hand, the marriage of the Republican Party and the religion industry fascist right, they do in public. It's the social equivalent of that the pair of young people in the mall or whatever, and you look at, get a room. You want to tell the Republicans and the religion industry right, get a room. We're tired of looking at you two licking each other in public. It's disgusting. You see? So while I agree with JJ, I think it's optimistic, but as much as it's optimistic, it's hopeless. Because there's money to be made and there are people to be manipulated. And more than anything else, the religion industry and the Republican Party are manipulators. I mean, we're talking about diagnosable in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 4th edition, the DSM-4 of mental diseases, that these people are manipulators. Sociopaths. Utterly amoral. Able to look on disease and suffering and agony and giggle about it. You know, just like remember, this is a right winger, not some derned lefty. Just like Tucker Carlson reported on George Bush about Carla Faye Tucker when she'd turned her life around. She was on death row in Texas when he was governor. And Alberto de Torquemada Gonzalez brought him the execution report. And he said, is she guilty? Cooker. Now, Carla Faye Tucker had turned her life around. Ministers of all stripe implored, begged George Bush to spare her life so that she could be a light in the darkness that is the Texas penal system. And Tucker Carlson reported that George Bush, talking about it later, said, I'm sure she said, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. And laughed about the execution of a human being. That is the sick marriage of the religion industry right and the Republican political machine. And they're sitting there doing the tonsil search in public in front of all of decent America. And decent America is getting pretty sick of it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Around the block, just up your street, where the neighbors you should meet. There are lives we live and dreams we share. We drive your streets and we're always there.
No matter how healthy you are, after age 65, you have over a 70% chance of needing some kind of long-term care. That's why you need long-term care insurance from State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. It can help you protect you from the cost of extended care. And who better to talk to about it than your local State Farm agent for costs and complete coverage details. Call agents Regina Eccles in Hinton, or Herb Garlitz in Beckley, or Jerry Gibbons in Summersville. Statistics cited in long-term care, knowing the risk, paying the price. Health Insurance Association of America, 1997.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Friday, April 29th, a who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development. Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
In Lancaster, a little league coach gets his team to the big game.
In Ventura, a volunteer firefighter orders herself out of bed at 4 a.m.
In Peoria, a CPA joins the PTA.
In Nashville, an aspiring songwriter joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Since we were on Republican sleaze, let's stay on Republican sleaze. I mean, got to dance with the woman what brung you, huh? Let's do a Tom DeLay update. I mean, when you say sleaze, don't you think of Tom DeLay? I mean, hasn't it gotten to the point with this man where you think about political graft and filth and corruption and everything that's wrong with the United States Congress right now, you know, hovering at about 35% approval rating by the American people? Don't you just think of Tom DeLay? I mean, you think sleaze and just boom, that beady-eyed, hateful little face just pops right into the front of your memory. What now? Well, from today's Washington Post. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay treated his political donors to a bird's-eye view of a three tenors concert from an arena skybox leased by a lobbyist now under criminal investigation. Of course, the lobbyist now under criminal investigation, that's sort of the shorthand that they use for Jack Abramoff now. Sort of like baseball parlance, you know, for a player to be named later. The lobbyist now under criminal investigation, Jack Abramoff, DeLay's PAC, would this be Arm PAC or Trim PAC or Little Foster Kid PAC, didn't reimburse Jack Abramoff for the 2000 use of the skybox. Instead, they decided it was a political donation. Is it just me? Is there something really inherently screwed up about a political system that allows a skybox to watch the three tenors? You know, three fat guys in tuxes with beautiful voices. How in the name of the wide, wide world of sports is that a political donation? Vote for me, I watch the three tenors. Vote for me, I am a tenor. Vote for me, my favorite song is Danny Boy. What? Now, the skybox donation, and it was valued at thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. That was just 3 weeks before dear Dr. Bugspray got on a plane to Europe. That was 3 weeks before that trip to Europe where he got to play golf at the Royal and Ancient Golf Club at St. Andrews, Scotland. And, of course, his pal Jack Abramoff was there to play golf with him. Wait a minute. Don't do it. I love golf. I love to play golf. I do it very, very badly. I'd love to play at St. Andrews. They say for a golfer, it's like, you know, Mecca. I got an amen out of John Kepi, amen. But you know what? If I ever go, if I ever get to go and play those hallowed links, I'm going to have to do it on my own hook. I'm going to have to do it on my own money. I'm going to have to book the flight. I'm going to have to get hold of a golf pro who will get hold of a golf pro who will get hold of a golf pro who will set me up with a tee time at St. Andrews. I'll have to book the hotel. I'll have to buy the golf balls. I'll have to buy the tees. And if you're playing St. Andrews, you really can't do it without buying a pair of really ugly plus fours, you know, the knickers. I mean, I'm not playing St. Andrews in blue jeans. But I'm going to have to do all that because I am a private American citizen. Not a drop of royal blood flows there anywhere in my veins. Tom DeLay, on the other hand, I doubt if any royal blood flows in his veins either. Although, arguably, there's a significant amount of paraquat in him. And malathion and DDT and all the things that make him the wonderful thing that he is. Emphasis on the word thing. He doesn't have to pay for it. No, sir. He's got somebody because he's a congressman. And apparently, if you're in the Congress, ethics do not apply. Here's the fun part. Jack Abramoff represents, as we mentioned before, Native American tribes with gambling interests. I'm not going to call it gaming. It's gambling. And they paid him, I think $82 million or something somewhere along the way, I think was one of the figures I read, to encourage people to vote in favor of their issues. And in order to encourage Tom DeLay, the hammer, to vote, and not just to vote, but to organize support for, because after all, he's the House Majority Leader. He is the hammer. He can rot the hammer. He got this skybox. He got to see the three tenors. Oh, solo! No, stop. Not going to do it. Promise. And then he got to go and play the Royal and Ancient Lynx at St. Andrews. Maybe had some Argus. Because he's better than us. He's a congressman. And he's not just a congressman. He's a Republican congressman. Which makes him way better than us. Able to take large donations with a single palm. And that doesn't rankle you? Oh, Bob, they all do it. No. No, that doesn't work in this argument. We're talking about him. We're talking about a man who says that Jesus sleeps at the foot of his bed. We are talking about the dirtiest Republican, that's visible at the moment. He's caught. The question is whether we, as a supposedly free nation, will tolerate this kind of thing. You know, the ancient Romans used to catch people up to these shenanigans back in the days of the Republic. And they would put that person in a burlap sack with a fox and throw him in the Tiber River just to see who came out first. And it usually wasn't the guy who was taking the bribes. Because these are bribes. How can you call them anything? They're junkets. Junkets, something that was a sugar-free ice cream mix once upon a time. No, these are bribes. Well, he met with some government, but I don't care. They're bribes. It is government bought and paid for. Because, you see, after he took all these trips by the guy who had all the Native American money, what did he do? Well, 2 months after the concert and the trip, good old bug spray delay, came back and voted against gambling legislation. Voted against it. Because Abramoff's Indian tribe clientele opposed it as well, because it's sort of like keeping the fox away from the hen house. Now, bear in mind, according to the House ethics rules, the rules require lawmakers to avoid even the appearance. The rules don't tell a congressman don't have a conflict of interest. The rules tell a congressman don't even have the appearance of a conflict of interest. Not even the appearance. Don't even want it to smell like it. Not only do we not want fire, we don't want smoke. And no matches in your pockets, Tom. Now, I don't know about you, but when an Indian tribe pays you, gives you a skybox to watch a hoity-toity concert, and then sends you to play the Lynx at the Royal and Ancient, and then you come back and vote the way that they want you to vote, in my book, that's the appearance of a conflict of interest. That's the appearance of bribery. But that's just me, right? Sure it is. Slime. Ugh. We'll be back. Time for our bottom of the hour break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. An explosion in an abandoned mine shaft in McDowell County has injured five workers who were installing a water pump system. Donnie Spence, supervisor with the County Economic Development Authority, says two of the workers were airlifted to CAMC, the other three transported to Bluefield Regional Medical Center. He says the workers suffered arm and facial burns. State and federal mine investigators are declining to release the workers' ID or their employers. The workers' conditions and what triggered the explosion also was not known today. Union members who have been on strike at a Greenbrier County lumber mill may try to buy the facility. 50 of the 63 employees at Meadow River Hardwood and Raynell went on strike March 5th. The 13 remaining employees are administrative workers. The strike came 3 months after Meadow River bought the mill from Georgia Pacific. The mill is closed as of this week. The Charleston Gazette reported today that a state official who resigned amid an investigation into hiring, equipment purchases, and his use of a state plane and helicopter have previously been fired by the Kanawha County Board of Education. The newspaper says the state did not check with the school system before they hired Neil Sharp, who resigned last week as director of the state's regional response program. Sharp had worked part-time as an instructor at the county school system's regulatory training center. The center provides safety training for firefighters, policemen, state workers, and private contractors. Oak Hill Elementary is one of 205 schools nationwide that received a share of $8.5 million in technology grant money. The goal of the 2005 HP Technology for Teaching grant program is to improve learning in the classroom through innovative use of technology. Since the program's inception last year, more than 400 schools have received grants. That's the news. Now here comes the forecast. For this evening, partly cloudy, temperatures now upper 60s. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 50. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, and cloudy, cooler too, with a high near 60. Then for Thursday night, partly cloudy, low 40. Friday night, chance of showers, showers and thunderstorms, and then much cooler with a low near 38. For Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, low 44. Saturday, chance of showers, high near 50. And Sunday, partly cloudy with a high near 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Where are all those free trade ideologues now that their theories have turned out to be bunkum, devastating American working families? Trust us, they shouted, as they shoved NAFTA, the WTO, and other globs of globaloney down our throats, promising us an economic paradise if only all quotas and tariffs were eliminated, letting the magic of the global free market create a bonanza of new export jobs for us. But their schemes turn out to be scams. And America's chief export under their laissez-faire ideology turns out to be our middle-class jobs. One of their brain flares was to eliminate all of the world's quotas on clothing, which took effect in January. This has been disastrous for folks in the real world, which the theorists apparently never visit. In only 3 months, their policy has resulted in the closing of 17 American textile and clothing factories and the loss of 17,000 American jobs. This is because, duh, if you just throw open the doors to our market and say, y'all come, such retailers as Walmart, Nike, and Gap are going to get all of their stuff made in low-wage hellholes in China. Since January, imports of Chinese-made knit shirts, trousers, and underwear, products that were still mostly made in America, were up by as much as 2,000%. Shouldn't America at least make its own undies? The honcho of Warnaco, one of the biggest clothing makers in the world, bluntly says, we will always go to the least expensive place. There will be a shift to China over time. Experts expect that 70% of U.S. clothing will soon come from China and that the 665,000 remaining textile and clothing jobs in America will vanish in the next few years. This is Jim Hightower saying, yet the theorists want to feed us even more of their globaloney in the form of a new Central American trade scam called CAFTA. To start taking policy back from these ideological nutballs, call Global Trade Watch, 202-546-4996.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR, Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives.
When you're alone, that life is getting you lonely. We can always screw up. Toon, toon.
Oh, my God.
Groundskeeper Willie.
Thank you, John Kempe.
Toon, toon.
As opposed to people from Pittsburgh who say, Danton. And that's not gooning on people from Pittsburgh. I love it. You guys want to go, you want to go downtown and get some gravy fries at Eaton Pot? Yeah. Sure. Nothing like gravy fries at Eaton Pot. All right. Another reason that the right wing, well, right wing, schmite wing, another reason that there will never be a divorce in the truly disgusting public marriage between the religion industry and the Republican right is that they don't want it. And while I talked about some pretty, pretty cynical stuff, you know, the manipulating of otherwise uninformed voters, for one. Another reason for that is the fact that when it comes to the religion industry, they want nothing short of absolute dominion, absolute rule over every American and every American's religious choices. Buddhists, come to the cross. Taoists, come to the cross. Hindus, come to the cross. Muslims, come to the cross. Because if you don't, we're going to kill you. There's a certain fittingness in the election of Cardinal Joey the Rat to lead the Catholic Church. Because he's right in line with the thinking of Falwell and Robertson when it comes to universal theocratic rule. The only problem being is that for them it's sort of like it's like March Madness for religion. Because each and every one of them thinks that at some point in time Jesus is going to come zinging back to earth in his golden Ferrari. And he's going to say, you're the ones who got it right. Kill the rest of them. You get to do it. Bet you can't wait. Right? Right. That's not me. That's how they believe. Don't take my word for it. Read the writings of the Christian Identity Movement. You know, the group that gave rise to Eric Rudolph. Read it. They believe that heresy. They believe that, what's that word that I'm accused of from time to time? Can't remember it right now. That it's punishable by death. They believe that certain consensual sex acts between married men and married women are punishable by death. They believe that sex between unmarried men and unmarried women is punishable by death. God knows they believe that sex between unmarried women and unmarried women is punishable by death. And boy howdy, when it comes to sex between unmarried men and unmarried men, well, that's not just punishable by death. I mean, they can dismember the corpse and scatter the pieces to the four corners of the universe. They will stop at nothing save the absolute subjugation of every single citizen of this nation to their religious vision. Their rather insane religious vision, I might add. And of course, they're all over the South, and they're into the Midwest. Truly, the religion industry is a cancer that is growing on this nation. And if they get their way, what's her name? Joyce Rogers Brown, is that it? She's probably going to be the first one that, after they go nuclear in the Senate and eliminate the filibuster, that they're going to ram down America's throats. This right-wing judicial wacko that believe there's a theory out there called the Constitution in exile. They believe that the Constitution is in exile. Yeah. Whatever that means. Yeah, read up on it. I'm not going to sit here and explain it. that's going to be, and that gang is going to be, their goal is to appoint these kinds of judges so that they can tell you how you can worship, or God forbid, if you don't worship, they will make you worship. Worship or die. You can confess Christ in all his glory or be put to the sword. Hallelujah! I'm not making fun of them. That's what they say. The single greatest threat to American representative democracy in the world, and that includes Osama bin Laden. There is no greater threat to our, well, Mr. Jefferson's bold experiment than these people who would chuck out the Constitution and who believe, in fact, contrary to history, that this nation was founded and meant to be some sort of religious theocracy. It is what it is. The phone number is 252-6200 outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
Hello, Bob.
There you are.
Ooh, I can barely hear you, Bob.
Well, I don't know what's that. That's the second time tonight. I don't know what's going on.
Well,
maybe juice.
I mean, the level of the game, you're just a voice in the wilderness, but I know you're cutting through for the rest of the world. So
I hope so.
Let me take a moment here to remind all our right-wing nuts, and I mean that in the dearest kind of sense. When W had his religious reawakening, he looked around, he talked to his family, he talked to this person, he talked to that person. I think it was his own family that said, well, you know, we can get Billy on the phone, and you know, W said, but I don't want to drink Pabst with that. No, it's the other Billy. It's Billy Graham. I want you to talk to Billy Graham. So anyway, he talks to Billy Graham, and they have more than one meeting. And the short version was,
Is this where they walk hand in hand along the sands of Kennebunkport?
Oh, geez. Oh, not a mandate even that far back? Anyway, I don't remember that little detail, but I do remember the short version of the meeting was in response to many questions over and over, as if to unburden himself from some tremendous guilt, W kept saying, what about this? What about that? How do I get there? Who's going to get there? And in one very important conversation, Billy Graham said, look, be a spiritual person, walk the path of a reasonable religion, and we'll all get there. You know, we may call ourselves different things in different parts of the world, but if we really seek anything resembling an honest God, we'll all be there, and it'll be fine.
So far, so good.
Fell back and said, no, that's not enough for me. So he rejected that. And as you have noted, and many of us know about, George in a campaign in Texas said straightforwardly, well, no, actually, Jews won't go to heaven unless they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So, yes, you can figure it out. He never said they'll go to hell, but that was the inference.
Right.
And that's where he is right now. So if anybody doubts how narrow and how horrible and how demeaning all this is, and this idea that when the rapture, which I do not believe is biblically supported,
nope,
comes around for those guys, if it ever comes around, which I don't think it will, you've spoken about it accurately, Bob. They feel it's going to be their joy and their duty to put the shiv between the ribs and watch the Jew, watch the Catholic, watch the follower of Islam, watch the Methodist that doesn't believe what they believe. They want to put them to the sword. They're waiting for the chance.
It's... I talk about these things, and I get accused of hyperbole. I couldn't.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
You know, this is straight out of Southern Baptist the theology. Unless you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to cook. You know, people in the South Pacific who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, the day they die, they go to hell.
Exactly.
I can't buy into that. That's just too vengeful a God for my taste.
You and I see that one. You and I see that one alike, Bob.
And
they use this horrible scare tactic. This we're in the club, you're not. And they delude themselves with it. Why care about the environment? A significant number of them feel that their rapture is coming within 10 to 12 years. So what if global warming is a fact? Well, it actually is a global warning in addition to be warming. So
yeah, and
they don't care about that.
And to a certain extent, David, they do believe in global warming. It's after they're all gone and we get fried and Earth becomes hell. You know, from the great tribulation.
Yeah, there is that too. So,
yeah.
You know, it's probably in their mind, it's to their benefit to see the Earth be even more polluted because those that do not believe and do not, you know, fall in behind them, their hell will be accentuated, which would probably make them happier. I want to get back to something that you said earlier. Was King Ratso the 16th actually part of the Hitler Youth?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Really and for true. And gave his first mass today on Hitler's birthday.
Oh, I knew that. I was very aware of that date. That little wonderful coincidence of history hadn't eluded me.
And
Benedict the 16th, you know. Gee, Willikers.
Well, you know, my daughter looked at me earlier today and she said, you know, when I hear the name Benedict, you know what I think of? And I said, what, sweetheart? And she said, I think of Benedict Arnold. And I said,
good,
you know,
for her.
Yeah, it couldn't be a more profound observation. Here is a guy who stood by Sieg Heiling at the tender age of 14 or 16, whatever, while the Jews were being marched off to the death camps. And now he's been elevated to the highest religious office, arguably, in the world.
Oh, and he's probably...
Benedict, indeed.
Well, you know, he'll never answer any question about that, but somewhere along the way, probably, there could be that glib little thing, well, you know, I like the uniforms, and all my friends were there, and gee whiz, they had the best soccer balls.
Well, not just that, but it was... The line that just really crawled all over me, David, was it was impossible to resist the Nazis.
Oh.
You know, that I'll be darned. I've been reading revisionist history all this time, and there never was a French Resistance, and the White Rose Society was just a joke.
So the phrase was, it was impossible to resist what?
The Nazis. That's why he.
In his mind, now hold on for a second here. I'm working toward putting something together here.
Okay, you're processing.
We got tab A and we got slot B.
Okay.
At age 14, it was impossible to resist supporting, joining, affirming, being part of, excelling in, admiring the organization of.
Singing the songs.
Singing the song. It was impossible to resist all of those ways of showing support for the Nazis, but he is strong enough to accurately reflect the love of Jesus and give it to the world.
Give it to the world part I'm down with. Yeah, and he's
I'm talking about him as an individual.
Yeah. And he's morally strong enough to tell peasants in Central and South America that they dare not stand up and act like human beings and demand human rights from dictatorial rulers.
Right.
He is
and
morally
to really have the fullness of life and enjoy the sacraments of all things that are concerning the church, they need to have enough babies so that at least two out of the six they have will start.
Right, and he's morally strong enough, David, to tell American Catholics in the last election cycle that, if they voted for someone who believes a woman has a right to control her own body, that they were participating in quote-unquote grave sin and were going to go to hell for it.
Well, you know, the German Catholic Church, being in the middle of Europe, being in the middle of Enlightenment, being in the middle of a give and take for thought, is probably more liberal than the Catholic Church in the United States. And has anyone offered to you the nickname that the German Catholic Church gave Cardinal Ratzinger, now Benedict the 16th? Has anyone offered you the nickname of the German Catholic Church?
No.
God's Rottweiler.
Oh, yuck.
I'm not making it up, Bob.
God's... Well, at least he's not God's Doberman Pinscher. But then again, there's something elegant and graceful and beautiful about a Doberman. You know, a Rottie... Oh. The Rottie... I mean, I guess they gave it... Because a Rottie is just... all teeth and fangs and slobber and, you know, a big old heavy weight, you know, just knock you down and chew your face off. I mean, is that what they're getting at?
And that pretty well covers it and consistent over their life, whereas, you know, the Doberman and some of the others will eventually, based on some other problems, may go a little bit crazy. He may not go crazy. Personally, I think he's probably there already, but, well, I'm on the verge of really making every Catholic that's listening to this angry. So,
well, no.
I'm not a Catholic. I respect.
We're not trying to offend anybody's faith. But frankly, I read articles all day long from American Catholics saying we're incensed, we're horrified. What were they thinking or not thinking? This is no vicar of Christ on earth. And like I said last night, David, you know, this guy preaches about the dangers of moral relativism, but there have to be absolute truths. Is it possible that there could be one absolute truth, and that is if you were in the Hitler Youth, you don't get to be Pope? You may have led an exemplary life afterward. All is well and good. You've risen to cardinal. But here's a rule. You were in the Hitler Youth, you don't get to be Pope. Just because there are some absolute truths in life, and that's one of them.
Sure brings home all the behavior of Pope Pius XII.
Yeah, that's who this guy is succeeding. He's not succeeding. You know, John Paul II was a woman hater, and you know, John Paul II turned a blind eye to the mass death caused by HIV in Africa. Oh, don't use the condom. You know, he did that. And if there's a hereafter, the way they describe it, he'll answer for it, and I have no problem with that. But he did some good stuff, too, the reaching out to the Jews, because he grew up with Jews, and he saw the pogroms, and he saw the ghettos, and he saw them gathered into boxcars and sent off to the places with smoke coming out of chimneys that had nothing to do with the election of a pope. He saw all that, and for that reason, he reached out. And he reached out to the third world. Yeah. This guy has none of that going for him. He comes from a legacy of hate. For God's sakes, he occupied the modern equivalent of the office of the Grand Inquisitor. You know, he's...
Thank you again for saying that, because over and over and over I have heard his title and the description thereof, and it just made my heart cold, because it sounds so much like, either the Grand Inquisitor or that one orangutan in what's the movie? The Charlton Heston movie where they, Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah.
The keeper of all truth and the keeper of all...
Dr. Zaius.
Same guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not kidding. And I'm, again, not trying to insult anybody. This guy is what he is. And the office that he occupied prior to his elevation to the papacy is the office that was held by Torquemada. I mean, this is the official who walked up to the women who had given, you know, herb tea to a birthing mother to ease her pain. And they declared her a witch. They tied her to the stake and said, if you will recant your heresies, we will garrot you before we set fire to you. This is the guy who held the torch to the faggots at the base of the stake, of the gibbet. This is that office, and he occupied it. The Panzer Pope.
You can only modify that office and its purpose so much, even over this long a time. But suppression. That's the key to it.
And he was actively involved in suppression of the liberation theology of the human rights priests of Central and South America. Sure.
Oh, I'm sure this is going to let alone rest well. This will bounce in South America.
Oh, it already. Yeah, they're disgusted too. They're just heartbroken. They thought maybe they were going to get paid attention to. Thanks for playing. You know, I don't know what they were thinking.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Well, we got to hit the break, David.
I'll leave room for one more caller, and thanks again for all the great things you do.
Thanks for the ideas and the fun, David. I appreciate it. Take care. All right, break time. When we come back, let's take a little trip to Texas. What do you say? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I'm calling about the vacancy.
It's a small room, $300.
No, I don't want a room. I want a colon.
Huh?
What do you got, biscuits in your ears? I said I'm looking for a colon.
Come again?
I'm a polyp, a big red colon polyp, and I want to move into a colon.
You what?
I'm looking for a colon. Can't you hear me? Maybe I should talk louder.
Nobody should live with a colon polyp. They can lead to colon cancer, and you can have one and not even know it. But remove the polyp early and stop colon cancer before it even starts. Just ask your doctor for a test. It's that simple. Get the test, get the polyp, get the cure.
I don't have time for this.
Come on, everybody wins here. I get a colon and you get a pal. Work with me.
Don't need no friends. Goodbye.
I need housing.
For more information, call 1-800-ACS-2345 or go to cancer.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society and the Ad Council.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. If you've got an old cell phone laying around the house, recycle it. It's easy, it's free, best of all, it's good for the environment. Learn more at calltorecycle.com. That's call, the number 2, recycle.com. Or call toll free at 877-2-RECYCLE. Please, answer the call to recycle.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Influenza is serious.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma or diabetes, are 50 or older, have a child 6 through 23 months, or live or work with those at high risk, yes, get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Looking at partial cloudiness and an isolated rumble of thunder through tonight as a front approaches. Low around 55 early Thursday. We'll tack on a 65 for kind of a cool Thursday afternoon. The risk of rain about 60%, hence the cooler readings. Friday's forecast, look for more clouds and intermittent showers with a high of 67. And we look at Saturday with a risk of rain and 40s back on the map.
WWNR Beckley, West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back, 6 minutes after 9. Head On for a Wednesday night. I mentioned before the news break that we would be heading south to Texas, and we are. I just want to make a brief stop in Tennessee. Thanks to a note that an article that our FOB friend Bob Gene sent along, and it sort of pertains. You know, now it's been vetoed here, but I'm sure they'll try again. The English as the official language of West Virginia embarrassment. This is what happens when you let English become the official language of your state. This is one of the things. There's a Mexican woman in Lebanon, Tennessee, and She has a custody case in the county juvenile court there in front of a Judge Barry Tatum. Now, this lady's name is Felipa Barrera, and what she speaks is Mixtec, or Mixtec, M-I-X-T-E-C, or Mixteco. And that's not a version of Spanish. It's not a dialect of Spanish. It is the Mixtec language spoken by some several thousands, if not, about a half a million Mixtec speakers in the Oaxaca region of Old Mexico. He's got a custody case in front of juvenile court Judge Barry Tatum in Lebanon, Tennessee. And he has warned her that she may lose custody of her 11-year-old daughter permanently because she doesn't speak English. That was the warning that juvenile court Judge Barry Tatum gave to Felipa Barrera, that if she doesn't learn English, quote, she's running the risk of losing any connection legally, morally, and physically with her daughter forever. Now, there are admittedly some issues touching upon the question of whether or not Ms. Barrera corporally punished her daughter and pulled on her ear. Sounds like something out of Rain Man, squeezed and pulled and hurt my neck. But, of course, you got to remember, this is the Deep South, and spare the rod and spoil the child is still largely relied upon as not only biblical doctrine, but sound parenting advice. Spare the 2x4 and rotten up the young'un. So, because she doesn't speak English, never mind the corporal punishment, because she doesn't speak English, Judge Tatum is considering taking this child away from her mother. Now, Tatum thinks that her English language skills are more relevant to her suitability as a parent. She was supposed to reappear in court on April 18th to be quizzed by him only in English about her job and family life. But her lawyer appealed and he had to postpone it. There's a civil rights attorney named Jerry Gonzalez in Nashville. Say it's another one of them Spanish names. And he wrote, termination of parental rights has nothing to do with what language you speak at home. You can be a deaf mute and speak nothing but sign language. That doesn't mean you lose your child. And of course he's right. Unless you're in one of these, our official language is English. Never mind, we can't speak it worth a damn. It's our official language. Now, you gotta deal with the, or take note of the fact that this Barry Tatum, this ugly little xenophobic racist, hears child abuse and neglect cases. This is a habit of his. Learn English or else. He does it to immigrant women. You know, this is one of those real proud sons of the Old South. Does it to women. Learn English or I'm taking your kids away. Anybody want to bet which way this creep votes? And, the case highlights problems faced by speakers of indigenous American languages in smaller southern communities. If you speak Spanish only, you're in bad enough shape some places, but if you don't even speak Spanish, you can find yourself in real trouble. Is this... You do realize that... for those of you who thought that English as the official language of West Virginia was just a real good idea, this is where you were headed. Is this what... Is that what? I mean, somebody comes here speaking their native tongue and, are we going to give them a timetable in which to learn English? This is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. There's nothing in here suggesting the child doesn't speak English. The child's probably learning it. How many families in America, German families, Italian families, Italian families, came here and Mama and Papa never quite got hold of the language, but the children did. Where were these right-wing neo-nationalist freaks then? You know, I'm sure this case would make that idiot that follows this program, the Savage Wiener, it would make him just giggle with glee. But I keep telling you, it's about the borders and the language and the culture. If she can't learn to speak something besides that country-fied dialect of Spanish, no, you idiot, it's a separate language spoken on this continent for, about 28,000 years. But we can't reverence that, can we? Her language is a heck of a lot more of an American language than English or Spanish is. But you got this right-wing freak judge in Tennessee who says, learn English or I'm taking your kid away. Thank God we are no longer on that road, and thanks very much to Gene for sending me the story. Tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come back, your phone calls to 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
At the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes! 40 miles to the gallon!
All right! And Corolla aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car, you'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com for details. Sale ends 4/31.
Have you ever wondered where to send your visiting friends and relatives when they visit this year? Make plans to visit the Southern West Virginia Convention and Visitors Bureau's Travel Expo at Crossroads Mall April 30th and May 1st to learn about all the great attractions and activities right here in our own backyard, Southern West Virginia. Got it in ya? Call 252-2244 for more information.
Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Usually I'm on stage in front of thousands of people working to help them change their lives. But today, if you have a friend or a loved one who's battling cancer, I'd like to ask you to take action in their support. How? Go to talkingwellness.org, a place where you can find inspirational e-cards and free educational materials about cancer and coping with the side effects of treatment. To help empower somebody in your life who's battling cancer, visit talkingwellness.org.
Sponsored by the Wellness Community with support from Merck.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head On.
Welcome back. 17 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock, straight to the phones. Cherie is with us. Hey, Cherie, you're Head On. Cherie?
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good.
I just heard the part about the judge wanting to take the child away from the mother because she didn't speak English.
No, I'm not kidding.
Well, our president wants the borders open. He wants immigrant workers, and he's, you know, giving them amnesty for being illegal immigrants. Go down to the beach. You'll find people from all over the place.
All over the world.
Yeah, and they're working.
Yeah, they're not there on vacation.
No, they're there as your hotel staff, amusement park workers, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I live in West Virginia, and I know for a fact my people come from counties to where we have very heavy accents.
Mm-hmm.
Mine isn't so bad because over the years it's become more smoothed out. But I got people that talk like this.
Sure, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So does that mean that my English isn't quite up to par and they want to take my children for it?
This guy would.
Well, you know, there is Elizabethan English.
Spoken here.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all different places. And I don't think that what this woman speaks has anything to do with the way she's rearing her child.
Yeah, if she has abused or neglected her child,
that's one thing.
That deserves to be dealt with, and it deserves to be dealt with in the method and manner that's prescribed by the laws of the state of Tennessee, although they're probably racist.
Well, our president is inviting them into the country, but yet punishing them because they can't speak the language. Depending on how long she's been here, it is.
There are some. English is an incredibly difficult language to learn.
Yes, it is.
And it's difficult enough if you speak Spanish or French or Italian or German, something that bears some sort of cousin relationship to English.
Well,
now, on the other hand, this woman speaks a language whose cousin is Otomi and another cousin is Nahuatl, and has absolutely zero in common with English or Spanish.
Right. I understand that.
Now, she could be here for 15 years and still be working on, hello, my name is, you know.
Exactly. Well, I mean, one of the other things that I pose here is I've worked with many doctors. Some are from India, some are from the Philippines, Germany,
mm-hmm.
and their English is not excellent by far, and their writing is even more atrocious.
Sure.
But yet they're the ones who take care of you and decide that you may need surgery, or they have to explain to you you have a terminal illness, and a lot of these doctors are very, very good and dedicated doctors.
Yeah, and you don't have some weird freak juvenile court right-wing judge screaming to take their children away.
Well, not just their children, but what about their jobs?
Yeah.
So if they can do this on this level, then how long is it going to be before they take it to the next level? And ladies and gentlemen, you want to talk about the doctors leaving? Right there goes most of your rural health care.
Well, but Cherie, please bear in mind, it's not going to go to the next level. Okay? No, it won't. This is the kind of thing. This is sport.
This is about the woman, right?
She's a woman. I mean, this guy is apparently a real live genuine creep. It's about the fact that she's a woman and she is poor. It is an old and time honored tradition in the Deep South to spit on poor people and to grind them and abuse them and use them and throw them away when you are done with them.
So you invite them into the country to work for substandard labor, and then you take their children away and put them in the welfare system, to which wants to be shut down.
Right.
And do what? What, you know?
And then you feel good because you're American.
Well, what do you do with the child? Foster care?
I don't. Foster care. Beat them when they don't speak English correctly.
Do you send them back to whence they came?
No. No.
Well, of course not, because they're American now, right?
And you're going to raise them up and make good little wage slaves out of them.
And
sure.
You're going to make fun of them for being different and being something that doesn't belong here.
Right.
But yet our open door policy for our orchard pickers and the people who, I mean, I'm sorry, I know lots of people, they don't care what job they do as long as they have a job.
Sure.
They would like to make a decent wage and to have health benefits, but that's not always an option.
especially not with with your migrant or your frankly illegal worker. You know, you raise an interesting issue. And again, at every turn and every opportunity, the American legal system is structured in such a way as to punish the poor people. All right?
Yes.
So we've got laws that are structured to punish the illegal worker. Now, the only reason the illegal worker is here is because there are people who are willing to hire them.
Right.
And they are generally people, you know, if you can hire another human being to do your work, you know, do your laundry, wash your windows, mow your lawn, you've got some disposable income, so you're probably a little better off than the average Joe. With me so far?
Right.
Well, if we're so upset about illegal workers in this country, why don't we craft a law that and empower every police department, every sheriff's office, every INS agent, every state trooper, FBI agent, whatever, empower every one of them under this law that if they see an illegal working in somebody's yard, you can march right in and charge the homeowner. Don't punish the worker for working and trying to better the condition of himself and his family. Punish the person who's really violating the law. Punish the person who hired them. And haul their white bread butts off to the stir.
Oh, no, Bob.
And see how long we have an illegal problem.
Well, you know, those minimum security prisons don't do very well. I mean, Martha Stewart was in Alderson, and remember how people made fun of it and said, oh, well, you know, she's on a sabbatical. It's not really prison.
Yeah, I do. But you know what? That would end the illegal worker problem in America. If the fat cat who wants his split rail fence put up and wants to pay $4 an hour to some Central American person trying to eke out an existence, if that guy is the one who suffers the liability for it, then bang, you will see a fast end to this problem.
Well, what installation was it that wasn't it more that was in a white collar?
Oh, you mean Arch?
Yes.
Shelley Moore's daddy?
Yes.
He was in Ashland. I think he was at Montgomery for a while, Montgomery, Alabama, and then he was in Ashland, Kentucky.
And they had TVs and rec rooms and all sorts of nice things. I mean, you don't usually see.
Yeah, but it's still prison, Cherie. You know, they still lock the door and you can't leave.
Well.
And if your prison is wallpapered in velvet, it's still prison.
But when you take them out of their homes and you charge them for it, you know, punishment's punishment.
Right.
You don't give a child a cookie for being bad.
No, you don't. But what I'm trying to get at here, Cherie, is, one, that law will never happen because we will never, ever make a law that holds people, that holds the moneyed class responsible for for enticing these illegals into the country. They come here because they can get work from these kinds of fat cats.
You know what I wonder is, how can we teach our youth responsibility when we don't accept responsibility ourselves?
We can't. And that's the disconnect that I think we see in this country today.
And, I hear people say, well, you know, kids are becoming more disrespectful and more violent, and, you know, it's the music. I mean, I've heard this rhetoric for years.
Yeah.
It goes on back before. But how much respect do the adults? We, the adults, show each other and other people.
Right.
Not a whole lot.
No, not at all.
And, you know, little ears hear everything you say.
Little pitchers have big ears.
And
absolutely.
They take in and they learn from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, punishment for children, when I grew up, you know, spanking was a norm.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you spank your child, someone can come in and take them away from you.
Yeah, it's not quite. It's a little more complicated than that, but I understand your point.
Yeah, it's a basic concept. It just depends on who's doing, you know, what agenda they have when they do it. It's not that I disagree with the system, but I've seen children who were abused that were ignored.
Well, one died in out Stanford this past December, didn't he?
Yes.
5 days old.
Yes, but I mean, you have somebody come into the emergency room, and mommy and daddy. You know, I'm sorry, people in bins very seldom have DHHR called on them.
Oh, that's true. Again, it's about the poor people.
But I've seen people who've come in lesser state, maybe no insurance, and have bumps and bruises, and all of a sudden DHHR is called, and actually there was no abuse at all. The child had fallen and gotten hurt, and it was investigated, but of course the child's taken from the home, placed into a stranger's home, and finally when it's all worked out, the people get the kid back and it's okay.
And the kid's life is screwed up forevermore.
Well, it's traumatic, but then sure. Someone comes in with a child that has a green stick fracture, and I'm sure if anyone knows anything about medicine out there, how a green stick fracture forms, you know, mommy and daddy can't tell me that Junior fell down the stairs and got this.
Right.
It's a twisting.
Yeah, it's a spiral, like a spiral limb fracture.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, mommy and daddy goes home with the child, and the child's looking at you, and you report it, and they go, oh, okay, well, you know, these people are fine people. What defines fine?
And the next
fine?
Thing you know, you're reading a funeral notice.
Excuse me?
Next thing you know, you're reading a funeral notice.
Well, I mean, what defines fine?
Well, upstanding. Goes
What's
to church.
What's upstanding? There are people that represent our country right now that aren't upstanding.
Well.
Tom DeLay is, and I'm not just picking on Tom DeLay. There are Democrats that I see that, you know, are basically selling their souls for whatever reason.
Sure.
Dirty's dirty. It doesn't matter what party it is.
Right, but when you stand up there on the mountain and scream Hosanna and talk about how holy you are, I think you open yourself to a little bit sharper criticism, and that's what Tom DeLay did.
Well, you know, I look at it this way. If I go somewhere that, you know, that they scream that everybody's going to, I'm not going to be lonely, and I'm going to be standing at the gates with ice water.
I appreciate it, Cherie. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Have a good night. Bye now. And break time, and yeah, next stop, Texas. Okay? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Two people hospitalized after a truck and motorcycle collided last night near Bradley. An emergency dispatcher says the accident occurred at around 8 o'clock on Route 19 at the Maple Fork exit. The two people injured were taken to Raleigh General. Their names or the extent of their injuries were not released today. State police are investigating. One man is dead, another seriously injured after an early morning ATV accident in McDowell County. State police say 37-year-old Tony Vanover of Yeager died at the scene of the accident, which occurred at around 2:30 Tuesday morning along County Route 114 at Orchard Branch Hollow. Daryl Walker of Yeager was health netted to CAMC, where he's listed today in stable condition in IC. It's not clear which of the two men were operating the vehicle, since both were ejected. Cause of the accident still under investigation. State police looking for a man who may have been involved in two thefts on Monday night. Police investigating a break-in at the Cracker Barrel on Harper Road received a call that an elderly woman staying at the nearby Days Inn had had her purse stolen. The victim said she and her sister were walking toward the motel around 10:30 Monday night when a man approached them asking for directions. The man then ripped the purse from her shoulder, tearing the strap and hurting her enough to send her to the hospital. A security video shows the man hopping into a car for a getaway. Police think another person may have been driving. They also think the suspects may be responsible for the Cracker Barrel break-in. The alleged mugger is described as a white male, mid-20s, medium build, clean-shaven, about 5'7", with short hair, wearing a baseball cap and a gray sweatshirt. Anyone with information should call state police at 256-6700 or Crime Stoppers at 255-7867. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening. Partly cloudy. Now temperatures mid-60s. Tonight, then, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 51 for the low. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high 60. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cooler, low near 40. Then for Friday, a chance of showers, high around 60. Chance of showers and thunderstorms again on Friday night, mid-40s. Saturday, a chance of showers, high near 50. And for Sunday, partly cloudy with a high upper 40s to around 50. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
This is America on the Road. If you're looking for a compact sport utility vehicle that doesn't shout cheap, we think we have an answer for you, and we'll tell you all about it next. Stay tuned.
In today's information economy, the success of a business is measured in more than profits and margins. The new and highly valued asset of modern companies is information, and the task of protecting this asset against virus attacks and network intrusions has become a complex endeavor. IT departments must be able to remove vulnerabilities by instantly deploying vital security patches and configuration updates company-wide. They must minimize the risk of downtime by automatically adjusting backup policies for mission-critical servers and workstations. And they must rapidly recover critical systems and data after an attack. Today's successful business keeps its information secure and available to the people who need it. For more information about managing and securing an IT infrastructure for today's enterprises, visit ITStrategyCenter.com. IT Strategy Center is brought to you by Symantec.
This is Jack Nierad. Most small SUVs aren't very upscale, but that's not the case with the all-new Mercury Mariner. Although the Mariner is a kissing cousin to the Ford Escape, its more contemporary interior gives it a different personality. With its dark wood accents and two-tone perforated seat cushions, it has a more modern feel that we like. And like the Escape, it offers excellent accommodations for four adults or a family of five, plus excellent cargo space and an easy-to-use two-way tailgate. Power is no problem, at least with the 3-liter 200-horsepower V6 engine, which is the powertrain choice we suggest. Equipped with a 4-speed automatic, this combination delivers reasonable fuel economy of 20 miles per gallon in the city and 25 on the highway. Our two-wheel drive version seemed a little skittish on freeway grooves, but otherwise the handling from the all-independent suspension was good. Our very well-equipped Premier model also featured niceties like heated leather seats, power driver's seat, and a convenient 6-disc in-dash CD player. On our scale of 1 to 5, 4 tires and a spare, we rate the $26,000 Mercury Mariner a 4. And we'll have more next time on America on the Road from CBS Westwood One.
WWNR Beckley.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. About 24 minutes left in tonight's show. Seriously, off to Texas with us. Because if you want to talk about a screwed up place, well, you really should start with Texas. They're pondering some educational problems in Texas. And because their educational system, after almost two full terms of George W. Bush, is collapsing. And in Texas, they're thinking about eliminating the senior year of high school. And Governor Rick, what's Molly Ivins call him? Rick Goodhair Perry. I think we'll see more and more students finishing their primary education and moving to higher education more quickly after 11 or 11 and a half years rather than waiting for the historic 12-year graduation cycle. Where we're heading is K through 11 or K through F, finish, whatever that is. Poor moron didn't realize what a howler that was. Yeah, K through F indeed. Seems to me Texas is already well on the way to K through F. You know, K through failed. Yeah, George Bush's man Rod Page saw to that. On the other hand, Gerald Tarazi of the National Association of Secondary School Principals says that focusing on senior year alone is too narrow an approach. Says you have to look at the whole four-year experience. You can't just suddenly attack senior year, he says. So there's a pilot program at 10 high schools in Texas across the state, and students can earn in 5 years a high school diploma and an associate's degree. And Goodhair Perry envisions that the state might pay first semester college tuition. See, they haven't even gotten around to the idea of a promise scholarship down there, apparently. As an incentive for an early exit from high school. Here's your semester of college. Get the hell out. Give them a semester for a semester, he says. But for God's sakes, don't teach them to think. then they wouldn't be Texans. Haven't they heard about the Alamo when the slavers finally begged to surrender like little girls with the first non-slave state in the New World? That would be Mexico. Wouldn't hear of it. Man, Texas was founded on ignorance. And they intend to keep it that way, doggone it. Lord. I do. I despise Texas. Every miserable piece of riffraff from the young United States, it seems like they found their way there. Stephen Austin? You get a state capitol named for you for leading slaves into a free territory? Colonel Travis? Must not have taken much to make colonel in those days. Because he wasn't much. Jim Bowie? Drunken knife sharpener? That makes him a hero? Sam Houston? What kind of state looks to a disgraced, drunken former Tennessee governor for a state icon? But, you know, then again, you got to respect their sense of tradition. What kind of state would ever let a no-good Yankee loser like George Bush be their governor? You know, as the future unfolds into the present, if God gives me my will, I'd proudly visit every other state in the Union. But Texas? From the lowland swamps of Houston to the polluted islands at South Padre to the snaky ranges of the Red River, and all points in between, Texas holds no fascination for me. Heck, I rooted for the Lonesome Dove Gang when they finally wised up and left that awful place. You couldn't pay me money to set foot in that Republican hellhole. With all due apologies to Jim Hightower and Ann Richards and Molly Ivins, you know, they're the last decent human beings still living in the territorial confines of Texas, as far as I can tell. You know, you always hear them using that, don't mess with Texas. You ever wonder why? Because Texas is too butt-ignorant to bother messing with. Yeah, the modern translation, don't bother with Texas. It's a waste of time. You want proof? I got proof. Let's see, what's her name? Mary Stevens was a teacher and a coach in Bloomberg, Texas. And, in fact, she was such an excellent coach, she took a down-at-the-heels girls' basketball program and took it within one game of the state championship. Now, this is a tiny little school district. The entire school district is contained K through 12 in one building in Bloomberg, Texas. And last December, the board of the Bloomberg Independent School District voted 4-3 to start proceedings to fire Mary Stevens. Because they thought she was a lesbian. Yep, not kidding. Now, she threatened to sue them, and they knuckled under, you know, like typical Texas. You know, all bluster and blow, and then you mash them in the mouth once, and they start crying and, you know, begging to surrender. So they have to buy out the last 2 years of her contract. Now, Bloomberg's about 25 miles south of Texarkana. And all the nasty little redneck biddies would come to her and say, honey, don't you got a boyfriend? Don't you want a boyfriend? And she said, I lied because I knew it would be career suicide to admit anything. So she takes them within one game of winning the state championship in girls basketball. And, you know, in Texas, they lose their minds over high school sports. In Texas, it's the only reason they have high schools is a life support system for an athletic program. And the parents started a whispering campaign. You know, I think she's one of them lesbians. Excellent teacher, superior coach. But I think she's one of them lesbians. A guy named Craig Hale says he don't want no lesbian teaching his children and possibly influencing the way they think. I get the idea that Craig Hale probably doesn't want anyone teaching his children to think. He just wants them to be good little Texans. His daughter played for Mary Stevens and said Stevens never did anything inappropriate. And here's the beauty from Craig Hale.
I had nothing against her as a person, but I feel like if I stand up for one lesbian, that'd mean I was for them adopting kids and my morals and the Bible doesn't allow that.
Really? So he'd rather have an absolute ignoramus teaching his kids than someone... Time out. What the hell business is it of Craig Hale, what this woman does behind closed doors with another consenting adult? What the hell business is it of the Bloomberg, Texas Independent School District? Now, 25 girls. Everybody loves a winner. 25 girls in this tiny little school, K through 12, 264 students. 25 girls came out to play girls basketball for Mary Stevens. After she quit as the coach the next year, 7 came out for basketball. Now, study after study after study after study has proven that when young girls, especially of junior high and high school age, begin participating in sport, that it is one of the best things they can do. Because, again, study after study after study after study shows that those young women participating in sport are about a jillion times less likely to wind up teenage mommies. And, of course, we're in Texas, so remember, the mere mention of a condom to a teenager is liable to bring down the wrath of Almighty God. I mean, these are the same people that follow that creepy woman from the Family Research Council or whatever that says we don't want to immunize our daughters against cervical cancer because that might make them think that they can have sex without getting married first. You think I'm ridiculing these people? Well, maybe I am. I ridicule, but ignorance. Or maybe it's not ignorance I ridicule, stupidity. Ignorance is the state of not having knowledge. Deliberate ignorance is what I'm ridiculing.
I don't want some lesbian teaching my daughters because, she might go to the restroom and then my daughter might go to the restroom and she might catch that lesbianism.
These people deserve our ridicule. These people deserve our scorn, our disdain. We're not talking about people. It's sort of like what I mentioned at the beginning of the show. What Kelly emailed in. If you're driving around with a W sticker, a Snuffer for Congress sticker, and a Confederate States of America sticker on your car, there is no hope for you. These people deserve our ridicule. There is no hope for them. They are so sexually hung up and weirded out and freaked out by a bizarre religion industry cult that they would rather their children remain dirt ignorant and not be taught than be taught by the most intelligent person in the world if it so happens that they don't approve of how these people behave in the bedroom. I can't wrap my mind around that one. I'm not interested in what other people do in the bedroom. Not at all. Not even a little bitty tiny bit.
But apparently Craig Hale and the Bloomberg, Texas Independent School District are.
So you got the governor of Texas, Rick Goodhair Perry, trying to hustle them out of their senior year. I don't care if you know anything or not. Get the hell out. Make room for somebody else. So it becomes all the more important that what teachers they are exposed to actually are able to teach.
But I don't want none of them woman teachers what likes other women's.
These are morons, okay? Pure and simple idiots. Emphasis on the word simple. These are the kind of people that Rain Man would point at and laugh. Definitely idiot. Definitely. You see? And these are the people who want to force their system of beliefs on you and me.
Bob Kincaid, you know how the earth was created. Do you know about the fall of man, Bob Kincaid? The fall of man was brought on when Eve, that nasty female, you know, all our problems starts with the woman's, when Eve run up across a gossipy snake. That snake, he's a sitting there in the tree, and he says, Eve, come here. She turns around, and she says, is you talking to me? Because you're a snake, and you ain't supposed to be talking. Oh! We're going to have us a chat. And that was the beginning to the end, Bob Kincaid. That woman, it's all them woman's fault, and if we could only control the woman's, maybe we can make this a fit and decent place again. What a bunch of addle-pated... There he goes again. He's being all liberal. You approve of that? Do you approve? And see, this is not an isolated incident. There are all kinds of weird Republicans in the Congress that believe that you need to go prying around and peeping and snooping and sneaking in people's bedrooms to find out what they're doing at night so that maybe you can feel a little bit better about the weird sexual proclivities, you know, that they have. This Jim Demented in South Carolina, he said it. A woman shouldn't be allowed to teach our cheerings if she's one of them lesbians. And this new senator out in Oklahoma, this Tom Coburn, running around, there is a rampant outbreak of lesbianism in the Oklahoma school system. Little girls can't even go to the bathroom more than one at a time because he's in there being lesbians. You think I'm making it up just because I'm doing it with a dialect. It happened. That is the gang of people who are in charge of our country, the country that my forebears and yours bled and fought and died for. And the country has been turned over to a bunch of religion industry weirdos. You get it? Let's go back to the phones. Kyle's with us. Hey, Kyle, you're head on.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
I got a WO4 sticker on my car. Does that make me a... And I'm going to agree with you on what you're saying. So what does that make me?
Kyle?
Yes.
Sort it out for yourself.
I mean, all right, you've opened up a whole keg of nails here. Number one,
let me ask you a question. Do you believe a woman should be fired for her sexual orientation from a teaching position?
Let me tell you something, Bob. I coach girls softball.
Okay.
Okay? My daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You have a daughter, Bob. How old is your daughter?
I got three of them.
Okay. If you've got one that ever gets to play Little League softball or...
Oh, I had one that played Little League baseball, by golly.
Well, I want to tell you something. You want a great experience in life? You want to experience something great in life?
What's that?
Coach your daughter in sports.
Oh, I'd love to be able to. This time slot kind of keeps that from happening.
I'm telling you right now, Bob. I want to tell you right now. I was working at a radio station and working an evening shift, and they altered my schedule so I could be there to coach my girls.
That's wonderful. I don't think we could change the time frame of this program, though.
But at any rate, number one, I'm sorry to inform these people, but do you know that the majority of your female athletes are lesbians?
No, I don't know that. I'm not aware of more than a handful coming out one way or the other.
Well, if you get to the college and professional level, I don't know that you can say a majority. Maybe perhaps that's a wrong phrase to use.
A very large
number of them are.
The way I would expect something, the way I would expect that to break out, in all honesty, I would expect the number of gay women in sport to be roughly the same as the statistical ratio of gay women in the population. I mean, that's what statistics would suggest.
You may be right, but at any rate, Bob, my whole point here is there are lesbians, not pedophiles.
Right.
There is a difference, folks.
Yeah, but not apparently in Bloomberg, Texas.
A guy, excuse me for, you know, I don't want to be politically incorrect here, but a guy who's a queer is a queer. He's not a pedophile.
Right, and
there is a difference.
And you can't catch it like some disease.
And a woman who is a lesbian is a lesbian, and she's not a pedophile.
Right. And
there is a difference.
And the question here is that grounds for termination from a school system, Kyle?
Well, you hit the nail on the head earlier. I was coaching my daughter, and I was a decent coach. I don't doubt it.
You're a dedicated person.
Yeah, and I was very dedicated to this girl. I love those girls. And you know, Bob, you know, I've told guys when I've called in on the sports shows you have, and we've talked about it. And Steve, he coached his daughter in soccer, and you know, you build a relationship with your daughter. My daughter now, the greatest thing in the world, when my daughter went to Woodrow and played softball at Woodrow, she said, Daddy, it was the greatest thing. She said, you would have been so proud. She says, we got a lousy team. And the girls all came in the dugout one day and said, you know something? If your dad was coaching us, we'd be a winner.
That must have made you feel about 10 feet tall.
That made me feel like a giant. And, you know, I was instrumental in getting that softball field that sits right there in the front of Woodrow Wilson High School.
Yeah.
I was instrumental in getting that ball field there.
Yeah.
And, today, you know, I can be in Walmart and I can be in Shoney's or I can be somewhere and a girl comes up to me and says, I want you to meet my husband and these are my children.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband looks at me and says, man, you know, she loves you. She, you know, I've been dying to meet you. One day I was working the radio station down in Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back in town and I was pushing it and trying because we had a 5:30 first pitch at Elk Stadium and at Little League here in town. And I was going through town and there was this young girl about the same age of the girls I was coaching, probably 10, 11, 12 years old, walking through town with two hoods, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know what? If she was playing softball for me, she wouldn't be downtown right now.
Right. And
exposed to this.
Or the other side of that, you had
for me to get there so we could get our game going, you know.
Yeah, and on the other hand of that, Kyle, you had stopped it by a factor of maybe 10 or 12 on your team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, it's good. It's good for girls.
It's good for girls. It's good. It's involvement. They're doing something, Bob. That's why the YMCA, the Little League, the Bitty League football, you know, these little things that we got going on in our community that occupy our children's time. The number one problem we have in America today with children...
Idleness.
And parents don't get involved with their kids.
No, I think you're 100% correct. But, you know, the question remains... You know, why does a woman's sexuality have to be suspect just because she's good at? I mean, by the mindset that's exhibited out here at this school in Texas, by that mindset, Kyle, what's her name, Pat Summitt, that coaches basketball at the University of Tennessee, just passed Dean Smith for total lifetime wins.
Mm-hmm.
By their reasoning, you know, she's a winner and she likes to be around women. She must be gay. You know, and if that doesn't change in this country...
Well, Bob, and that would be like saying, I'm a man because I like to coach girls in softball.
That you're a dirty old man.
I'm a dirty old... I must be a pedophile.
Right.
You know, Bob... And,
We're way too wrapped up in other people's business, Kyle.
You know, comedians do it in stand-up all the time. They always make fun of the athletes, the guys walking up slapping each other on the butt.
Yeah.
I mean, the coach, one of the players... Slap him on the butt. This world has gotten so politically incorrect. I was conscious of it when
sex obsessed.
You don't. That's a little girl. You don't pat her on the butt and say, "Good job, baby, go."
Yeah.
You know, you don't do that.
Right. Absolutely.
That's how politically incorrect this nation has gotten.
Yeah.
And you know, I could joke with my girls. And I could kid with them, and say things to them, and the parents would hear it.
Yeah.
And there was one day a girl, she came over, and she was laughing. She said, that ball bounced up, and it almost hit me, and it was in the groin area.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, and I said, better you than me.
Yeah.
And her mother and two or three other women, including my wife, just cracked up.
And I tend to agree. Kyle, we got to leave it at that. We're out of time, man. Thanks for the call.
Take care and have a great night.
You too. Okay, the show tonight produced by, of course, the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor and Brian.